going to need a background piece of information in order to attempt to crack a chazal. I'm breaking all the rules. Breaking all the rules, trying to understand and share a chazal that I myself don't fully grasp, and I certainly am not a living example of. So, breaking a lot of the rules, but we're a creative group, right? We'll try to do this. The eventual goal is to try to see if we can develop a healthy relationship to suffering. To suffering and to death. In general, it's fair to say that what really counts are the relationships that we develop with certain core issues. For some people, it's the relationship that they need to develop with money. For some people, it's a relationship with their physical body. For many people, it's a relationship with suffering. I could attest not only from my own life, but from the lives of those whose suffering I've had occasion to share, that it seems that very few people learned how to address suffering. And you've got the Stoics out there who sort of take it all on the cheek. It just hit me. I think they got that from the Christian idea. They sort of turn the other cheek so they can whack you on the other side. And then there's the Kvetches. I don't think it takes a lot of explaining on that score. There's the why me's. None of them, the relationship with suffering seems underdeveloped, or perhaps it's not underdeveloped, it's just under discussed. I don't know. We'll find out. But I want to give you a little hakdama, a word of background that doesn't sound like it has anything to do with a relationship with suffering, but it's chazal that we should share. Chazal say that there's a sequence of Noach, Avraham, and Moshe Rabbeinu insofar as their requests on behalf of evildoers. That kind of nods and shakes that there's something in the parsha that has something to do with requests on behalf of evildoers. So Noach apparently understood chesed. He understood chesed to such a degree that he did not sleep for 12 months, day or night. What kept him going, the adrenaline rush that kept him going, was what? Knows the chazal? The adrenaline rush that kept him going was chesed. That was the adrenaline rush that kept him going. He had to accommodate the animals the way he understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accommodates the animals, the food that they like at the time that they like to eat it. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was zonu mefarnes lakol. He took his cue from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that kept him going with adrenaline rush, taking care of every single one of the brios for 12 months. No sleep, day and night. I'll even say, one time he was a little late in coming to a lion, and he got bitten. He got bitten by the lion. As I'll say, that he was became a balmum. And he came out of the teva. The son had to bring the karbanos. Shem ben Noach. He couldn't bring the karbanos. It was balmum. So he got it. He understood chesed, say Chazal. He understood chesed, and that's what motivated him. Because he cracked the code of chesed. Say Chazal that he failed to intervene on behalf of the people who were destroyed. Built Teva for 120 years. Hard for us to imagine being involved in a project for 120 years. Built the Teva for 120 years, and whenever he was asked, he informed them that it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the world. And they should do tshuva. But he didn't try to intervene to save them, even if they didn't do tshuva. Did not attempt to step in with his tefillos to save his generation, even though they didn't do tshuva. So he, in the eyes of Chazal, he understood chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He understood chesed, but not fully. Because if he understood chesed more fully, more completely, he would have been mitpalel for his generations. That's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted was to save the whole generation of the flood. But in order to save the generation of the flood, there needed to be tefillah on behalf of the generation of the flood. And that he didn't do. That he didn't do. He understood the midas hadin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these people, ki hishchis kol basar es darko al haaretz, was unimaginable evil in the world. It was so unimaginably evil that the animal kingdom became perverted as an extension of the degree to which human beings were off course. So, told them they need to do tshuva. He built the teva for 120 years, and he understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed insofar as being zanu mefarnes everybody, and he did so for 12 months, animated to do chesed. Halavai, that we should be at the shoelaces of Noah. To be animated to do chesed in the name of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, halavai, we should be at his shoelaces. But Chazal say that of the three that we're speaking about, he was at the first level. First level. Above him, but not at the top of the pinnacle, was the person we know as the Chesed LaAvram. Avram Avinu was Zon the Mefarnes. He was constantly involved in being Domet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in doing Chesed for the Brias. He chapped. He had a Masorah from Noah. He chapped in the Bria. He understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of every single creature. And its time and its place in a way that's appropriate. Chazal say that Eov tried to claim that he was the equal to Avram Avinu. Why are you starting up with me? I also do chesed, Avram Avinu. Turns out that everybody who had any need at all went to Eov. He said, you just go to the store, tell him, put it on Eov's tab. Getting married? Need a suit? No problem. You just go to the store, tell them, put it on Eov's tab. And he paid it. Any flowers for the hall? No. Just tell the florist, put it on Eov's tab. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Eov, you're trying to compare yourself to my Avram? In Avram Avinu's house, nobody ever asked for anything. Because he had already anticipated the need. He had all the different sizes of suits were already in his house. So that when the person would come, he wouldn't have to go send him to the store. Oh, look at this. I happen to have a suit here. Please. The chesed of Avram Avinu is legendary. Chesed of Avram. And he indeed raised the bar, and he was mispalel for Sodom. In his tefillos for the evil, depraved city of Sodom, the city who had determined that they could figure out how to keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence out of Sodom. That's what they did. They figured out how to keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Sodom. And that was by doing absolutely no chesed. It's an amazing thing that happens. If you hit people who are poor, people stop being poor. So that's what they did. They hit people who were poor. And amazingly, people stop being poor. You give money to people who are poor, there's a remarkable thing that happens. There's more poor people. So they figured out that we can do the opposite. So everything that Avraham Avinu was standing for, the people of Sodom figured out how to reverse. And Avraham Avinu went to bat to such a degree that Chazal say that the language that he used to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu could only have been excused by Avraham Avinu. Nobody else could have gotten away with such language. Ha'oza, the chutzpah, to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Cholila Lecha, to come with such strong language on behalf of the city of Sodom, whose destruction should have been Avraham Avinu's most pleasant dream. No. Avraham Avinu is mispalel for the city of Sodom. That is the next level of chesed that's up from Noah. Noah wasn't mispalel for his generation. Avraham Avinu was mispalel for Sodom. That moves him up a rung. In his understanding of the chesed haborei, he was mispalel for Sodom. Say Chazal, he was mispalel that the tzaddikim should protect the city of Sodom. He was mispalel for the tzaddikim. That wasn't it. That didn't grab the essence of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for Avram to be mispalel for the Rishonim of Sodom. That's what he was looking for. He wasn't looking here. God, the tremendous, tremendous madrega of chesed l'Avraham, ad kedei kach, that he even surpassed that of Noach, and he was mispalo for Sodom, based on the tzaddik. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes into the picture, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Klal Yisrael did, we don't even want to talk about it, under the chuppah, it's a kala aluvta. This is a kala under the chuppah. It says Eila Elohecha Yisrael to an ega. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you're gonna touch them, kill me. Better that 1,000 Moshes should die and not one fingernail should be damaged in Klal Yisrael. He hit the mark. He got it. In addition to worrying about every aspect of their physical and bodily needs, in addition to worrying about their ruchnius as well as their gashmius, Moshe Rabbeinu chat that the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to lay yourself down for the rishayim. That he chat the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his tefillah was successful because he completely joined with the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim of HaKadosh Baruch. And he was mispalel for the Rishoyim in Klal Yisrael. Why don't we say Chesed of Moshe? My guess is that Moshe Rabbeinu is like most of us, you know, a midget standing on the shoulders of a giant and seems even further than the giant is. So he learned, he had a masorah from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was one who cracked the code, cracked the genetic code of the world, that the world is built on chesed. crack the genetic code. Yeah.
I hope it's not too early in the shmooze, but in the Torah Shabbat, I remember that the Rambam was saying that not doing favors for people that don't appreciate the favors, but don't know how to.
We discussed the idea of another point of not doing favors for people who are not grateful. That has to do with doing favors in terms of creating hard feelings between people. The reason you're not allowed to do a mirachim, the lashon of the Gemara is kol she'ein bo das otzer l'rachim olav. Person who doesn't have das, not allowed to have compassion on him. The das is explained to be akaras hatov, so you can't have compassion on him. Compassion on him means you can't do things that are lifnim mishuras hadin, because he'll end up hating you, and then you'll end up hating him. It has nothing to do with tefillah. To be misfalel for the rasha, nothing to do with anything. No, there's no limit. But it's not misfalel for the rasha because I'm a liberal. Liberals love rasha. Kicker comes from the fact that they hate tzaddikim. That's where they crumble. That's where they show their real colors. They hate tzaddikim, but they love rasha. The essence of Chesed is to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never wants to bring an onesh to anyone. He only wants to be the Tova HaMeitiv. Olam Chesed Yibane, to crack the code is to understand that not only should I be mispalo for tzaddikim, but I must be mispalo for Rishoyim, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed really involves. It's a limitless Chesed. And there's a Mida Keneged Mida. Person who's mitzpalel for even for Rishayim, so Kodesh Baruch Hu Mida Keneged Mida takes care of him as well. The way that we deal with others is the way that a Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with us. That's a Mida that a Kodesh Baruch Hu built into the Bria. That's not just a bonus. That is how the world operates. It's a thing called Mida Keneged Mida. It's one of the operating principles of how the world works. And the way that we relate to others is the way we are related to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we don't speak evil of others, what do Chazal tell us? If we simply refuse to besmirch anybody else's name, I'm sorry, I will not take anybody else's name down. That's it, I'm sorry, I won't do it. Everybody else's reputation is going to be safe. I don't care, no matter what, I will not besmirch somebody else's reputation. What happens when a person comes to the din and they got a file on him that's 7 inches thick, single space, of all the averus that he did, and the sultan starts to open up his mouth to start the case, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, can't speak. So, I can't speak? Where's justice? Got a 7-inch dick over here on the guy. Can't speak. Case dismissed. That is a case dismissed. What? Mida Keneged Mida. He refused to speak ill of other people. Mida Keneged Mida is the way I built the Bria. You can't speak evil about him. But it's true! Yeah, they tried to squeeze information out of him too, because it was true. And he didn't speak about other people. True is where it all starts. That's Lashon Hara. He didn't speak Lashon Hara. He didn't speak Lashon Hara. You can't speak about him. So what's going to happen with this whole tick? I'll take care of it. They're bonus on it. Okay, I'll take care of it. Pass the tick over here. Leave it on my desk. You can't open up the tick because he didn't speak ill about other people. Same thing is true if a person is mative to other people, chesed to other people. But he goes so far as to recognize that that's true. Legabi Rishoyim. That is true Legabi Rishoyim. And that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. And the one who managed to crack that code was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu laid himself down on the railroad track so that Klal Yisrael would, even the Rishoyim in Klal Yisrael, even the worst of the worst, would be spared. Yeah.
Why was it necessary for him to go with Shevet Levi and kill 2,000?
When just because he lays himself down on the railroad track doesn't mean that everybody's going to get saved. That's what we're getting to. That's what we're getting to on the next step in the assembly line here. Is getting to the fact that laying yourself down on the railroad tracks in the name of Chesed does not mean that everybody is going to have a peachy, rosy life. Yeah.
It's just very confusing to me now because Chazal's attacking the birth of the bracha of the Mal Shnim seems to be the death and synthesis of everything that's been said.
And do you know how hard the Chazal worked to try to come up with somebody who would write that bracha? I would say that would be the easiest bracha to write. You take any schnook off the street and say, what do you got to say about the people who talk bad about Klal Yisrael? And you get a wonderful bracha. And Chazal struggled. They couldn't find, they finally find one tzaddik who's able to be misaking the bracha of Olam HaShinim. Because what he was able to build into it was only the covenant of Klal Yisrael. No personal animus whatsoever. Cover the Klal Yisrael, that's it. The Chazal, incidentally, says by the Mekoshesh, that they put the Mekoshesh, the wood chopper, they put the Mekoshesh to death. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructs Klal Yisrael to stone him, and it says that they stoned him. Nice. Klal Yisrael got a good report card. They did what? And then it says, and Klal Yisrael did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. You don't have to be a sophisticated student, nor Avraham, to ask the Kasha. You just told me that you stoned him. Why do I need to now be told that they did what Hashem said? Say Chazal, Kach Mekublani Mirabosai, the tradition that I received from my Rebbeim, it's because they had absolutely no negative feelings. They only put him to death because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives life, commanded them to put them to death. That's all. The one who gave life said that this life has to be put to death. No rock throwing. Even though they had to stone it.
It just feels like we're building within us a sentiment towards it. Like, I understand the bracha, okay, so it shows the cover of Yisro, but the kavana is that, you know, Hashem Shemamish, you know, like, get rid of these people within our lives. It's not what we're trying to do here.
Tell me, do you think it's strange that we have this pivotal central mitzvah, one of the zechiros in the Torah that you have to remember all your life, all the time, is the hatred that we're supposed to bear for Amalek? Do you have to remind any of the concentration camp survivors about their feelings about the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichron? You think anybody needs a reminder? What kind of mitzvah? Is a mitzvah to remember the Mechiyas Amalek? I don't have a mitzvah like that. The answer is, if it wouldn't be that there's such a mitzvah, I wouldn't even have those feelings towards a goy Russia. Because that's not chesed. That's not chesed. To understand chesed is to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the hatov v'ameitiv to absolutely everyone. You'll say, aye, the Pasuk says, Oave Hashem sinu ra. That's right. If you want to be a lover of Hashem, you have to find that evil is repulsive. Evil is repulsive. But it's Yitamu Chatoim min har, not Yitamu Chotim min har. If the evil should be removed from the world, we're mispalel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help remove evil from the world. And we're mispalel for the evildoer. Famous story about the Gedolei Yisrael. You may actually remember in my fogged head. I may actually remember it at some point who it was, but the fog doesn't let. There was a maftil who had done a tremendous amount of damage to Klal Yisrael during his lifetime. Terrible. Finally, word of his demise came to the Talmidim and triumphantly they went to report the news of his death to their Rebbe. And their Rosh Hashiva burst into tears, frightened tears. He asked him, "What are we missing in the story?" And he said, "Could you imagine what he's going through at this moment in Shemayim? It was so overwhelming for him that he burst into tears. The thought of what this person was experiencing in Shemayim, he couldn't bear it." So that's the Hakdama. There's these three levels that Chazal described. The level of Noach, understood chesed, he chapped it to such a degree of 12 months of day and night, but it wasn't misbal for the generation. Avram Avinu not only chapped chesed, but he also was misbal for the city of stone, but he was misbal for the tzaddikim and the schus of the tzaddikim. That was his pivot, was the schus of the tzaddikim. And Moshe Rabbeinu chapped the whole code. Chapped the code that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Hatov, HaMeitiv, Olam Chesed Yibone, and he was mispalel for the Rishoyim as well. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a great Bal Chesed that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to chap. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a Bal Chesed. A lot of suffering in the world, no? A lot of people have some difficult lives. Those of us who carry the names of those who did not survive, it was a difficult time. How many times can you say Tziduk Adin? How many times can you acknowledge that the judgment is just? Millions, millions of repetitions. What do you do? It's a fascinating Tanchuma, the beginning of Parshas Netzavim. The Medrash reads, Omer Chizkiah Benosho Rabbi Chiya, Loma Nismecha Parsha Zo LeParshas Klolos. Why is Atem Nitzavim put next to the Parsha of the terrible Tochacha that is read almost in hushed tones in Shul, too horrible to describe? Why are these two parshios put together? First, these terrible klolos, and then Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Atem nitzavim hayom kuchem. You're all standing here, triumphant. Answers the Medrash, Lefi sheshamu Yisrael, all the klolos. And these weren't the first time they heard klolos. They heard klolos in Vayikra. Parshas Bechukosai, they heard another 49. Horiku pineyem, their faces went blanched. The amru mi yucha lamod va'elu. Who can stand in the face of such suffering? What's been hurled at us? The suffering that's been hurled at us. Who can stand in the face of such suffering? Miyad kara osan Moshe v'hayim ifaisan. So Moshe Rabbeinu called them over, wanted to be mephias them, appease them. I assume the word appease comes from the word mephias. He wanted to be mephias them. He said to them, Maksiv lemala min ha'inyan, what's written earlier? Hamasos hagdolos, the wonderful miracles that you saw, and you came to this place and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of your every need. Ve'atem lo shmatem bekoli va'amartem lefonai dvorim sha'atem chayovim aleim kloya. You said things that would have warranted your utter destruction. Ve'lo asisi eschem kloya. But I didn't utterly destroy it. I did not utterly destroy it. It brings a pasuk to that effect. Ve'lo od ela sha'amartem lo egel ele Elohecha Yisrael. You said to the egel that this is your God. And you're still here. Atem nitzavim. That was the peace. That was the appeasement. That was the comfort that he gave to them. The comfort that he gave to them, in the way that the Alter understands this comfort, is that he said to them that you need to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was building chesed even into your onesh. He was building chesed. You have to recognize that the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the olam chesed yibaneh, is not simply when life is peachy for you. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building chesed into the world and into your life even when he is taking your life. And even when there's enormous suffering in the world. Ve'im tomar, and if you'll ask the question, mipnei maha goyim nischaivu kloya v'anu omdim kayomin, and if you'll ask the question, how is it that the goyim, Dan Quayle, when he went to South America, eminent prime minister, vice president of America, he went to South America, Latin America, and he came back reporting that he really now regrets that he didn't study Latin more diligently in school, because then he'd be able to communicate with the people down there. And this way he wasn't able to communicate with the people in Latin America. Who speaks Latin? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I never struck down a nation twice. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, earlier in the Medrash, I never struck a nation twice. You're the only one. I never did it. I never struck a nation twice. There was never a nation left for me to strike after I struck them once. I never struck a nation twice. Except you. Chitzaya Chalebam. I'll hit you, and I'll hit you, and I'll hit you, and you'll still be here. Because Olam Chesed Yibone.
Wait a second. So don't hit me? The answer is, the Cheshbon, the how to bring a person to Chayi Netzach. A person steps out of line, and he needs help to get to Chayi Netzach. That comes to Yisurim in this world. So apparently it is possible for a person to recognize that the Goyim are gone because, says the Medrash, Lefi Shebishor Sheboyin Alein Yisurim Mevatin Bahen. When afflictions come to them, they reject the affliction. They find scapegoats, usually Jews. They find scapegoats when their economy goes bad. They find scapegoats when they find themselves losing a war. They find scapegoats when they find themselves losing a national resource. But you, Avol Yisrael, kishah Yisurim boin aleihem, hein nichnoin umispalim. They humble themselves and they daven. Shenemar. Kos Yeshua Esa, Sarah V'Yogon Emsa, U'V'Shem Hashem. I find myself in affliction. I call out in the name of Hashem. Lefichach Amar Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu, Af Al Pisha Klolus Halalu Ba'us Aleichem. Even though these terrible afflictions come to you, Hain Hain Ma'amidos Eschem. They are what bring you. They what bring out the best in you. They bring you up. They put you on your feet. V'kach amr lehem Moshe liYisrael, af al pi shayisurim halal lebayin aleichem, yesh lachem amida. You have the ability to stand, and it's from the afflictions. So
apparently, we are able to not only recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Zonu Mefarnes Lakol, the Madreig of Noah, apparently are able to do that, and to reject entirely the value systems that would maintain that we are not supposed to emulate Hashem. We're supposed to just be worried about ourselves and not be worried about anybody else. We are able to rise above that and to be devoted to helping other people. That's the Madrega of Noah. Apparently we're able to do it, and we're able to be animated by it so that we don't even doze off, because it's so exciting to be helping out a human being, even to be helping out the animals who are otherwise going to be victims of the flood. They can't take care of themselves. We can even rise to the idea of davening for evil people and the merit of the righteous. Apparently we're able to do that too. And apparently we are capable of even getting to the point where we will daven for the evil person himself. Where we recognize that that's the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what. That's the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because that's Olam Chesed Yibonah, because he is the Avrachum, and because he is the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachami. And so we're able to be mispalel because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to destroy anybody. And that is tapping into a real understanding of Hashem's Chesed. But apparently we are able to tap into Hashem's Chesed to the point where we are able to endure suffering as a result of it. Where we are able to so tap into the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the HaTov HaMeitiv, that He is the Baal Chesed, that apparently we are able to tap into that even when we are being destroyed. We are able to notice that standing in front of you is a person whose mother was in a gas chamber. And the gas chamber malfunctioned. My mother had difficulty, extreme difficulty, establishing her existence after the war. Because in the impeccable precision of the ones who get every flight on time, in their impeccable precision, every single person who went into the gas chamber was listed as gestorben, was listed on the records as dead. And therefore, you can't be alive. It wasn't quite possible to then let me take out my passport or other forms of identification. There was only one form of identification. The number. You got a stira. The Germans had to deal with a stira. One hand says here that you're dead. On the other hand, there's a number on your arm that then you seem alive. That's a problem. Germans are not terribly good at working out these kind of theories. It took them a year or something like that to establish this. Yishlomer. So I'm supposed to somehow be able to see and to feel the Chesed HaBorei. One or two others who didn't. I'm named for the grandfather who didn't make it. The answer is, this has nothing to do with working out a balance sheet in life. This has nothing to do with working out the pros and cons of living. The story is not about somehow giving God a good or bad score for overall performance. It's about cracking the code of this world. It's cracking the code of the world of Olam Chesed Yibaneh. We don't often think that our ability to withstand and understand suffering and to empathize with suffering and to care and to share the suffering but not to be broken by the suffering, we often fail to recognize that that is a direct result of the degree to which we have built ourselves up as Balei Chesed. We think that one is philosophy and one is nice guys. So nice guys are nice guys. We're all in favor of nice guys. We vote in favor. But that's not philosophy. Philosophy is I stub my finger. And even somebody who isn't from can't get it because he just thinks that it's a philosophy of faith. That's all it is. It's a philosophy of faith. It's not a philosophy of faith. It's a faith in chesed. That's what it is. It's an understanding of chesed that literally permeates to the point where a person has an attitude and an approach to suffering. I wouldn't want to tell you that it's a never-ending process because I don't want to frustrate anybody. But it's a never-ending process. We're always in the world to build more of our understanding of chesed. It's a never-ending process. It doesn't end. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was called to task earlier on in his career. He was called to task because he couldn't tolerate the suffering of Klal Yisrael. Well, what was he supposed to do? Turn a blind eye to the suffering of Klal Yisrael? He got upset at the Ribbono Shel Olam because he saw Klal Yisrael suffering. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, oh, excuse me, what happened to you? Well, one day we'll look at the Medrash inside and Mr. Shem will study it in depth if we haven't already. What happened to you? Oh, so Moshe Rabbeinu understood that somehow there's a way to have an open heart and an empathetic heart and a caring and a sharing and a loving heart for the suffering of another human being and not to be broken under it because I understand the Chesed HaBorei. That's not something you tell somebody. You don't tell somebody, hey, look at the bright side. You know? Maybe dead at 40, but there are people who are dead at 30. Just think. That's not something you tell somebody else. That's something that we have to integrate to the point where we are able to share and even feel suffering without losing the heartbeat of understanding the plot. Can't lose the plot of what this world is. This world is a place of kulo chesed. And if it doesn't look that way, that's been the answer for all the generations. Noach also said it doesn't look that way, and that's why he couldn't bring himself to pray for the generation, because they look bad. And when they look bad, you can't pray for them. Avraham Avinu was able to up the ante a little bit, and he said, well, they wouldn't be so bad if they're under the influence of the tzaddikim. Moshe Rabbeinu moved the next level, and he understood they're the brios of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This doesn't take away the Chazal. The Klal Yisrael said Az Yashir when Mitzrayim was destroyed, because of course after HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Klal Yisrael in miraculous ways and destroys our oppressors, of course we rejoice, but that's not rejoicing because we're happy that they're dead. We're rejoicing because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was open about his chesed to us. That helps bolster our understanding of chesed. In fact, the Malachim were not given permission to say Shira. The Malachim at the Yam were not given permission to say Shira because they didn't need that piece of information. They were just happy about the Mitzvah. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Maisa Yodai Tovim Bayam Beatim Omrim Shira. How could you be happy? I created these people and they're, look at that, they're drowning. That's the message. We don't celebrate because they're dead. We celebrate because the Kodesh Baruch Hu graciously allowed us to see a little glimpse that the whole world is running only al pi chesed. Other times, we have to learn it from our history, to learn it from the history of Klal Yisrael, we have to learn it from the Torah, we have to learn it from the Avos. Otherwise, you know, those are hard lessons. You have to learn it through others. Every once in a while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megale that in the world. So when he was megale in the world, we rejoice. But Rabosai, it seems that there is a mahalach, a uniquely Torah mahalach to suffering. And it's not a mahalach that you're going to hear about anywhere else. Because anywhere else, all they can talk about is math, the balance sheet. Even if they're very, very brilliant, Viktor Frankl, others like him, can talk about the fact that your suffering is still meaningful. You can find meaning in your suffering. It's a brilliant idea, fantastic concept of finding meaning in one's suffering. This is way beyond that. This is not finding meaning in the suffering. This is enabling us to sustain an enormous amount of suffering, leaving alone the question that we deserve it. The ability to sustain an enormous amount of suffering and still see the Yad Hashem, the Chesed. Still feel the Chesed, to know the Chesed, because we learned the steps along the road, all the way from the Chesed of feeding another person, all the way to the Chesed of being misbal for a shine. Question.
Is Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult how we meant to?
Give up. Give up. What's the alternative?
So what? So give up, okay.
I give up. The shir was about how to give up. But at least know what you're giving up when you give up, because it's the reason why we're in the world. We're in the world for every one of us to push as far as we can to understand Olam Chesed Yibaneh and to duplicate Olam Chesed Yibaneh. We're not here to know whether we're going to get to the end zone. Everything about Torah is open-ended. Somebody who told you, yeah, I know Bar Mitzvah. I know. What would you say then? Baruch Hashem, you got to the point where you can say over the Shachar B'Tari, that's a tremendous thing. You're probably in the 0.1% of the population of Bnei Torah, who are 0.1% of the population of Klal Yisrael, who are 0.1% of the population of the world. You're 0.00001 to the world. That's pretty impressive, but there's more. It's above Mitzvah. And there's levels of Nigla and there's levels of Nistar. It's like, oh, forget it. Then. Move on to a simple Mitzvah, though, the Basra. Close up shop. I can't do Bar Mitzvah. It's too open-ended. The answer is, we push and we push. And we always, by the way, if you don't take this challenge, then you're going to be bench pressing 200 pounds. Because everybody takes on a challenge. So if you don't take this challenge, you're going to find yourself doing in front of a mirror in a gym somewhere. Because human beings take on challenges. So if this challenge doesn't appeal to you to take it on, you're going to end up pressing metal in some gym somewhere. Because human beings take on challenges. And that's what we're going to do. You're going to end up with a disc that you're going to try to throw as far as you can. And say, boy, that's really going to further mankind. That's really going to move mankind a big step forward. If I can somehow get this disc 4 centimeters further than the last guy. And that's what you'll do. You will find a challenge. You are human. You will find a challenge. It's wired into the system. And if somebody says to you, yeah, but I'll never get it to the moon. I'm never going to get this disc to the moon. I just know I'm never going to get it to the moon. What would you answer to him? So what? You just get it 4 centimeters further and you walk around with this thing on your neck that says that you got, 4 centimeters further. You're going to have challenges in your life, there's no question. You might as well take the challenge that you were created for. It seems to be a better fit than trying to beat gravity. As significant as beating gravity is when you want to wake up in the morning, but and not necessarily the significance of having to throw a disc a little further than somebody else's. But you will end up taking on a challenge. You might as well take the challenge on that you were built for, that you were designed for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the human being with a capacity to know Chesed, and he built the world with Chesed, so that we are able to then actualize the mission of Olam Chesed Yibaneh to the point where it can actually impact. It's the pius, it's the appeasement. That's how Klal Yisrael was appeased. He didn't say to them, don't worry, it's going to be fine. All those things, those klalos that I said to you, they're not really going to happen. That was just, I just wanted to threaten you a little bit. They're not really going to happen. Every single word of those klalos have come true. And I'm testimony to it. Every single word of those klolos came true. I don't think there's a single word in there that hasn't yet happened. Not a word. Every single word of the klolos came true. And women ate their children. And children were slaughtered in front of their parents. And every single word of the klolos came true. Don't think that Moshe Rabbeinu called them back and said, by the way, I just wanted to threaten you. You know, I'm one of these parents who, like, doesn't know how to hold himself back. You know, so I just kind of threatened, you just dare and I'll cut your head off. You know, this wasn't a parent who was losing it. This was, every single word was exactly what was going to happen. And it did happen. But he did call them back and say, it's not going to happen. That's not what happened. He didn't call them back and say, it's not going to happen. He called them back and said, Afal pi, that it's going to happen. Atem nitzavim hayom. You're standing. And the goyim are not standing. And you're standing. And that's because you turned to the Ribbono Shalom b'hachna'a u'bitfila. Who turns b'hachna'a u'bitfila? If not to the one who they know loves them. Who turns b'hachna'a u'bitfila? Who turns humbly with prayer? To whom? You don't turn humbly with prayer to somebody who's distant and arbitrary. You turn humbly in prayer to the one who you know is trying to be mative to you at all times. And even now, in the midst of the suffering, is being mative to you and is finding ways of doing chesed for you. Apparently, there's a tool and a uniquely Torah approach to being able to sustain and relate and have a relationship with suffering. Question?
I think I'm putting it right.
That's right.
How do you say it?
When you're talking about the hatred only because it's the hatred of Hashem, that, why do you think we don't kill Amalek today? You think that there's people today who could pick up a little Amaleki baby and chop him up? You think they could do that without their personal animus? The mitzvah was taken away from us because we can't fulfill it properly. If you really hated an Amaleki because you'd be on a tremendously high level of tzitzis. There's a place in the world for everything. There's a place in the world for the hatred as well. There's a place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world of chesed. There's a place in that world of chesed for hatred. That there's somebody who truly loves Hashem, Oave Hashem Sinu Ra, and the Tachlis Sinu Saneisim. Adarabba, if you can do it because of your Avas Hashem, absolutely, it's built into the chesed. That's built into chesed. It's like telling an untruth when it would save a marriage. Hashem says, "Chosamush l'Kadosh Baruch Hu emes." Can't lie. The answer is that's emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that shalom between two people is emes. No, I want my definition of emes. My definition of emes is what is in the New York Times. That's my definition of emes, and this doesn't match my definition of emes. Well, guess what? You didn't really understand emes. If you would have really understood emes, you'd understand why this bald lie, which brought harmony between two people, is emes. And it would be fulfillment of being dovik in the midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't use standards of just to redecide what's called emes, and this is not called emes, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself intervened with an untruth in order to do that. Everything has a place in the world of chesed. Lies have a place in the world of chesed, and hatred has a place in the world of chesed. But before we get to where hatred and lies have a place in the world of chesed, let's see if we can find where chesed has a place in the world of chesed. That's what we're looking for here. We're looking for, have chesed have a place in the world of chesed? Do we actually start climbing the ladder and taking it seriously because it's what we're in the world for? The intimate relationship between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is hinged on the degree to which we chap chesed. And when you chap chesed, you start by addressing other people in a way that you look after their needs. Of course, not to besmirch them in a way that would negate their needs, that would in any way make their life more difficult, that would make their life harder. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "V'charta b'chaim," to do those things which are life-giving for yourself and for others, that which is life-giving. And to besmirch somebody's name is not life-giving, and on to being able to look out for their needs, to return their lost articles, and on to be able to make sure that you don't cause them hezek, to make sure that you don't disturb the sleep, and on, and where can it lead to? The limits. I think today we just stretched where the limits are. To stretch the limits is to understand that it will also give me a healthy and proper relationship with suffering and death. And if I can develop through chesed a relationship with suffering and death, then I have turned the human being into Telem Elohim. If a person can crack the code to the point where he has a relationship, doesn't mean he can now understand suffering. Doesn't have to understand suffering. Like Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Dayan HaEmes. We don't have to understand suffering. We can learn from suffering. We don't have to understand suffering. We have to be able to internalize Olam Chesed Yibane to the point where we have a relationship with suffering. Baruch Hu Rabbah.
When Moshe was at this time for the nation, he also was willing to give up his life for the nation.
Yes.
Meaning that it wasn't just traveling, it was the most amazing physical act that he was willing to do.
Total mysterious savage.
So now, when we live according to this Madrega, we live in societies which tend to cut off the outside world. It looks like, you know, we hate those who are not like us. We don't hate them, but we keep away from them to the point where you can actually build into your mind that it's very hard for, you know, you hear the children, for instance, being raised, and you hear children saying, look, we're pointing out those who are different. And when then you have to build it into them something else, which this touches on this whole subject of how far do we extend this chesed, and is it just davening for them? You know, you've got Jews who are off the derech, and you've got non-Jews. You've got a whole world in front of us. According to what you said, you're davening for the whole world.
Let's start with my next door neighbor's son slipping off the derech. Why don't we start with him? How many times has it happened that his welfare and Kodesh Baruch Hu should spare him has come across our minds when we're davening? Forget the people out there. My next door neighbor's not out there. But his son is slipping. Did his being come into my thoughts at tefillah? Do I care that he should be well, that he should be okay? That no harm should come to him when he's in Ben Yehuda? Not just talking about spiritual harm. That no harm should come to him. To make sure that he has clean needles. Shouldn't chas v'shalom get a terrible disease from using needles that aren't sterile? What? That's what they're... You're worried about your neighbor's kid getting a transmitted disease from needles that he's using? Wait a second. Why not? Why am I not worried about that? The answer is because, you know, I know about chesed. Chesed means that when I need something, somebody else should give it to me. You know, I understand chesed. You know, I've worked it out. Chesed means that the person in line, you know, when I come late, they should let me in the door. Because even though I'm late, they should let me in because it's chesed. So we know about chesed. So I don't know where to draw the line as to how far it can go. I do know that the people who jump too far past their neighbor's son get into deep trouble. Because some of them become liberals. And there's again to deep trouble. And they start worrying about the whales off the coast of Alaska, and they cause untold damage to human beings. Hatzlocha.